This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
My name's Bob, and I'm glad you guys are here tonight. Before we can get all wound up, I want to give a big shout out to Jimmy Hoare in front. And all those folks listening in tonight on the Disney Nerd Podcast. We want to welcome you all.
Welcome to the Splendor. The spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 344 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and it's time for a Wheel of Attraction show. We're going to be doing our Wheel of Attraction show, and before I tell you all about it, let's hear who's on the show with us tonight. First off, we have Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
I am fantastic, and this is one of my favorite shows, I think.
I think we all say that because it's such a fun show. Hey, Morgan, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm stretched. I'm ready. Let's do this.
Awesome. For those that don't know, our Wheel of Attraction show is basically a show where I take the big carnival wheel that I have in my office, I have all of the rides in Walt Disney World on that wheel, and we're all going to take a turn at spinning it. Once it lands on the attraction, we're going to basically just do a brain dump. We haven't prepared ahead of time, so this will all be kind of a shock once we get it, or a surprise once we get the attraction. So you'll hear us take a little bit of a pause as our brains start spooling up and getting the information ready to go. But we usually come up with some great stuff. A lot of times it's just memories, ideas, critiques, anything that we can come up with.
Definitely a lot of nostalgia on these, especially depending on the attraction. If it's one of the older attractions, one that you got to experience maybe in one of your first, you know, your trips when you were younger, there's definitely nostalgia definitely plays in.
Well, I think right now it's all nostalgic because none of us can be in the parks. So
very true. Very
valid. But let's be honest.
Very valid point that, yes, we all every attraction would be nostalgic at this point.
Yep, I agree. Okay, guys, so let us go ahead and spin that wheel. Morgan, you know what? You're going to take the first spin tonight. So give it a shot when you're ready.
All right, I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay, there it goes. So now, while that wheel spins down, as we pick these things, we really are randomizing them. So as that wheel comes down at the end and we see what it's going to be, we really don't know. It's starting to spin down.
Oh, not that.
And it's Living with the Land.
Oh, I love Living with the Land.
That's a pretty easy one. Okay, let's just do the basics real quick. Who wants to take that?
I'll go first.
Go for it.
So, go for it. You got all excited. You take
the vote. Yeah, true.
The first thing, okay, so that's a must-do for me every time I ride that attraction. I'll tell you a couple things. One, that first scene you go through that you're in the rainforest, I wish I could simulate that like in my bedroom.
Now, real quick, this is in Epcot. This is in the Land Pavilion downstairs next to Soarin'. Okay, continue on. And that rain scene, I totally agree. That is definitely the sleep music, the white noise sound.
Yeah, it's got the lightning, and you're like in a rainforest. You can hear the water. You can hear the storm. You hear the thunder.
I thought you meant the plants.
Well, this is the same ride with the. Oh, yeah, no, but I want to. Yeah, I'd want to recreate the whole scene in my bedroom.
Yeah.
With the sounds and the lightning and all that. And then, you know, that thing's so cool. Then you go through that part, then the rainforest, then the desert, and then you get to the little farmhouse, which is cool because you can see that from the garden grill.
Mm-hmm. And right. The rooster.
And the rooster on top of the mailbox. Yeah, it's such a cool ride. And then it's also, once you're past that point and you go into the greenhouses, it's very educational. And another cool thing about that attraction is I highly recommend for anybody that has not done it to go do the Behind the Seeds tour.
Mm-hmm. Definitely recommend.
Which is fantastic. We did that as a group a couple years ago, Disney Nerds. It was so much fun. The only thing, the one knock I'll give on Living with the Land is I miss the song and I miss the cast member given the guide, like a cast member guide that used to stand on the front of the boat and narrate it.
Right, right, the narration. Now, I remember that because in the beginning, we would wait for that buffalo animatronic, and it was great. The kids loved it, and that thing barely did anything.
Right.
But it stood out for them. They really liked it.
In that time, yeah, it was really cool.
Right. Another good thing I think about the whole Living with the Land ride, because you're right, you're basically going through a big greenhouse, was the aqua part of it, the fish place. Very cool. And they've gone through a lot of gyrations of the different types of fish and such, and they had alligators, and they don't anymore, and shrimp and stuff. A lot of cool stuff under there.
And when, when you do the behind-the-scenes tour, you get to go feed the fish.
Yeah. Now, have you guys gotten a chance to ride it during a festival? Because they do add extra things to it, like especially during Food and Wine. They'll show more, especially because, I mean, obviously Food and Wine, they grew more stuff because they're feeding more. They've got all these new dishes and everything they're doing. So they kind of showcase that stuff more. And if I'm not mistaken, they've even started to decorate it for Christmas.
I remember seeing something in there. The Food and Wine, I remember seeing a lot of signs that were basically pointing to the actual food, beverage, or beverage item that they had out there at the Food and Wine show. So that was kind of cool, where they would kind of point you at the pavilion.
Another, you know, they also did some signage and stuff like that. Remember they did like a sign in the sand and stuff like that? Because when we did the Behind the Seeds tour, it was during Food and Wine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've actually still got that picture on my phone, and I was right about the decorating for Christmas because Christy did an article for us on our blog this past December about how they decorated and did everything in Living with the Land for Christmas, for the holidays.
Oh, I wonder if we even saw that. I'll have to go back and take a look at that blog post. Awesome.
So, I mean, I love that they have not gotten rid of this ride. Because if you think about it, I feel like every time that I've been there, it's always been a low wait. Unless Zorn has crashed and everybody has nothing else to do and they said, let's go try Living with the Land.
Right. Well, that's always been the MO for this place. Yeah, you're right. It's always the one you jump on when there's either too big a line on Zorn or there's nothing going on.
Well, you know, the other thing that it used to be was when you had paper fast passes, you'd go grab the fast pass for Soarin' and then
ride that
while you're waiting for it.
And with the land, while you waited for your fast pass, go grab a bite to eat, ride Living with the Land, and then hopefully your fast pass would be coming up soon.
Yeah.
But I mean, I will ride the ride regardless of if I ride it, not because I'm trying to kill time. So, I mean, I'm glad they haven't gotten rid of it. I hope that they don't get rid of it. Mm-hmm. I hope they find some way to actually enhance it, either bring back people to kind of talk about what everybody's looking at a little bit more, or even a little bit better audio track of what's going on.
They should have people out on the tour standing there waiting for you to come around to talk to you. And these are our hanging watermelons. They were used in Africa, and they are phenomenal. Kind of give you a little bit of the tour as you're cruising by in the boat, maybe.
But I don't know if they could really do that because it all depends on how much time that they have with that boat going past.
Oh, sure. But you know what? It's Disney. So you know they would be able to time it. They would be able to put the lines down they'd have to say in that amount of time and then just let it move on.
Yeah.
No questions. No questions, please. So now something else to think about as far as enhancing it, and you kind of brought that up when you said that to me. Have you ever gone through it in a thunderstorm? Going through the greenhouse. That was phenomenal. Because you're seeing the thunder and lightning through the glass above you, and it was really, really dark inside there, even with the lighting they had. It was a fun experience. Fun, exciting experience, I guess, would be more the term for that.
See, I used to spend my rainstorms in Ellen's Energy, but, you know, that's gone now.
Depends where you get stuck.
I always booked it to Ellen. I made a chance to make it to Ellen's Energy and just wait it out.
Very cool. Okay, guys, we ready to try another one of these?
Let's do it.
Okay, Jimmy, you're up.
Here we go.
Okay, there it goes.
No whammies.
Classic.
One of us is going to say it.
Big money, no whammies.
Yep. Okay, it's slowing down. And it is Toy Story Mania. Wow, that's a big one.
I don't think Jimmy's ever been on that ride.
I don't think so either.
No.
Been on Toy Story Midway Mania quite a few times. I will tell you, one of the things that it makes me think of when I just originally think of it, I think, God, my shoulder's going to hurt after that. It does every time. My shoulder hurts every time. And Kim is super competitive on that, and she usually beats me. So, you know, I try as best I can. Now, the other, like the Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger spin, I destroy her every time. But this one, usually she beats me. I do think the last time we were on it, I outscored her, though. So,
cool. Yeah, I guess it's a different style. My forearm usually goes crazy on it, but I've learned to play with my left hand, too. So, it kind of makes up for it.
You're ambidextrous.
And see. So I automatically, my brain goes to Happy Gilmore, and, you know, it's all in the hips, but I think it's all in the wrist. But I'm doing it to that same, it's all in the wrist.
Yeah.
And I'm just like going.
No, I use my fingers and my wrist a lot in that, but I think it's just holding my arm up in that weird position. You know what I mean? Like keeping the elbow up and holding it in that weird position. So maybe I just need to change how I hold. I don't know.
Yeah, next time you go through, watch other people how they're doing it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. Maybe I'm just holding my
I bet you money there's, like, YouTube tutorials on, like, the proper stance.
Oh, sure. Well, for this attraction, and you mentioned Buzz Lightyear, there's plenty of information on how to do better. In a nutshell, you do the best when you actually are riding with other people. Riding by yourself is a little difficult because there's a lot of rewards that come about by eliminating everything on the screen. Once, like, whole levels are, like, disappear from the first time, they start showing up at higher money values or higher point values.
Sure.
The one I like the best is, believe it or not, the rings and the rockets. There's so many great things in there as far as scoring points. That's usually where I take over the lead score in that one.
And so, I mean, in the strategy on that ride is things that – do you go for all of the closer, bigger things that are stationary and try and get as many small point totals as you can? Or do you go for the smaller
– You got to go for the combinations. Like the one that has the barn house, you got to go for all the mice. Once you get all the mice, then the points go up to 1,000 or 2,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
The same thing with the rockets. Once you hook a couple rockets, then it goes up to like a 5,000 – up top there, and you can then collect that. So it's a matter of repetitive and then getting the big score.
That and, you know, so things that move are typically worth more. Things that are far away typically worth more because they're smaller and harder to hit.
Before you get away from that, don't forget, when you look down, the kids got their points too, because there has been a lot of like high-scoring things down the bottom of the screen too.
Yes, there are. And a lot of times you just don't see those because you're not looking right in front of, you know, down in front of you.
Oh, right. Morgan, do you have a favorite screen?
I like the darts. That was always the one that I liked.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I just remember, but I'm always bad about getting my shooter confused with the person beside me. Like I have to like almost hyper focus and make sure that like what's being shot is from my shooter and not the person beside me.
Oh, it doesn't matter. You can shoot their stuff too. Matter of fact.
No, I'm saying
where her dart's coming from.
Like I'm thinking I'm getting these big points, but it's the person beside me.
I got you.
You got to catch that color early on and stick with it.
I think that's another strategy too, is that you don't let the person you're with know, but you shoot all the stuff on their board.
Well, when there's available stuff and point wise. And then the final screen with the tunnels.
So if anybody rides with Jimmy and you wonder why all your stuff is gone, now know why.
You got to poach on his side.
That's defense. Yeah, but most people don't think that way because they're too engaged.
It's a fun ride. I remember it being like the biggest thing that Hollywood Studios had when it first opened up. You couldn't wait to get on it. It was the fast pass to get. It was the 2-hour, 3-hour line. I think that was the first one that started that whole crap where you had a 720 or 240 minute wait to get on the standby. After after the Mania came out, then you started seeing the newer rides that started opening up with that same type of wait.
You know, and I don't think the wait time died until like Toy Story Land opened and you had other stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Another cool thing about that attraction was back when it opened up, and I don't know if they have it for the Switch, but back when that ride opened up, the Wii was the thing, and they had the Toy Story game for the Wii.
I had that. We have that.
Yeah, that basically has all the same type of carnival type games as that's in the attraction on the Wii.
Yep. And
I still have my Wii. I now must find that game.
Well, we're actually trying to hook up our downstairs Wii to we finally found a TV we can hook it up to. And we're going to try to set that up again. Not necessarily for the Toy Story part of it, but for maybe some of the healthy parts of it. Before we leave this ride, I got to mention the queue because this was the most incredible queue for the kids in that waiting online was not that hard to do. There was something to look at everywhere. And once they had Mr. Potato Head working, it was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
I'll add to that and, you know, say similar to Flight of Passage. If you're in FastPass, you miss the better part of that queue.
For the most part, although nowadays with the different lines, and I'm not even sure how that goes. Like, do we pass Mr. Potato Head at one point? Is he on the standby or is he on the fast pass?
He's the standby.
I've gone through it like 3 or 4 times since it's been changed, but I still don't have a good like idea of the layout inside there.
It's odd. It is. But you don't pass Mr. Potato Head if you're in fast pass.
You kind of see him in the distance.
Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, Toy Story Mania definitely brings back a lot of memories for us, a lot of high scores, a lot of practicing. Like, I'm glad you brought up the Wii thing because we did a lot on that.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So let me take a spin on this thing. Here we go. Okay.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, I know. I'll let it go as it starts to slow down. And we're going to be talking about the Boneyard. Now, the Boneyard, not a major thing, but something over in Animal Kingdom, and we'll touch base on it real quick. I don't think we're going to spend a lot of time on this one. For those that don't know, that's the playground as you enter Dino Land over in Animal Kingdom. And I think this is by the Flame Tree. Is that where this entrance is? I think you pass the Flame Tree Barbecue on your left as you come up, and then as you go underneath the Brontosaur, it's on your left.
Correct.
Right. We spent some time in that with the kids. They dug that. Of course, it's a playground. It's a scaffolding. It's basically take Chuck E. Cheese, that whole like run around in the ceiling type of area, and make it really cool, dinosaur-themed in Disney. And that's
what
this
is. Like a sandbox, basically, too, that they can go and they move the sand around, and there's like fossils in the sand and stuff like that.
Yeah, digging up the fossils. I think they had paintbrushes or some type of brushes in there. But that whole area was so interactive with cast members talking about dinosaurs and fossils and things like that. I'm glad we hit it early on, but it's not something you're ever going to go to once the kids are too big for it.
I've never been.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I mean, my kids are, me and you are kind of in the same boat with the kids as age as Ed. And it's been a long time since I've, but when the kids were little, yeah, that was a good spot.
And it's definitely cool sticking your head in there, Morgan. It's kind of like, remember the playground over in Hollywood Studios for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? And we never went in there till the kids are almost too big for it. But I'm glad I at least stuck my head in there once.
It was cool.
So it's good checking out like all these different places, even if you don't have the kids or if you don't want to play on it either.
Kids nowadays wouldn't even know what Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is, but.
And actually, what's kind of sad is I've actually never got to do the playground at Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, and that was one of those weird things. We only hit it one time, and it was almost right before they closed it. They got rid of it. So, for some reason, it's tough getting.
It's kind of funny. When I was younger, my grandfather planned our Disney trips, and he was like, he read the books, and he was super planner man, so he did not want to spend any of our valuable time with his grandkids playing in the playground. Like, that was a waste of of our Disney time.
You know what it really was, though, right? That was not for kids. That was for parents to say, okay, kids, go.
Right, play. Well, we're going to sit down here and not do anything.
Right, well, we chill right here and talk, and you go, it's a contained area, you go run around, and we'll sit over here. And that's what it allowed for a break.
And very similar.
Well, he did not read that part of the books.
That's the thing. And I agree with that. If you have a short trip, you don't want to have your kids in the playground. You want to have your kids on Dinosaur. You want to have the kids on the rides. I get that totally. But if you've got a little extended time and you've got a little rambunctious kids who might not be able to get on some of those bigger rides, the Boneyard. And the Boneyard, too, has those, like, restricted entrances. Like, I think there's only one or two ways in and out of that place. So you could let the kid run around. It wasn't going to get out.
Yeah, right. And I was in high school when Boneyard opened, so I didn't want to go play on slides, my sliding days were over.
I still want to slide.
Yeah, but I think I need a couple of Carl's combos before I want to slide.
That's when it gets dangerous, though. Okay, so let's go ahead and do one more spin of the wheel, and this will be just a general one for all of us. Morgan, though, you could throw this one. Let's let you spin it.
All right. Okay, go.
Okay. So we'll do one more tonight. We'll talk about it, and I think that might be it. We'll see. Starting to slow down.
I can't look.
And it is... Wow. Prince Charming Regal Carousel. Nice. Actually, this is nice because we all just went on this recently, and it was probably the first time I've gone on it in like maybe 15 years.
You guys may find this hard to believe, but that is a must-do for me every trip.
Really? Yes,
that is hard to believe.
I've got pictures. I can show you. I can go back every trip and show you pictures of me and Kim or me and Kim and some other, some group of people.
Like your kids?
My kids have ridden it. There's a picture of me and Kim and Ian and Michelle riding it last time. I ride it every time. I love the music. I love the carousel horses. I love the history and how old that thing is.
I agree with everything you're saying.
So it's just something almost like a distraction and kind of a break. Usually there's no line there. You might wait 10 minutes to get on, 15 minutes maybe. Mm-hmm. So you don't have a line. And you get to, the music's beautiful. So that's just that old time carousel ride music, but it's all Disney. I make it a point almost every trip to ride that.
Nice. Very cool. I was happy to get on it that one time this past November. Again, it was pretty fun to do it. Now, there's kind of a rumor that's around there that I kind of looked up, did a little history, and it's not the current carousel. When they first opened Walt Disney World, the rumor was they got that first carousel from a amusement park in North Jersey where they had this old turn-of-the-century a carousel that they bought, refurbished, and used as an original. I did a little research behind that. It seemed like that was the case, although it definitely isn't the case now. It's a different carousel in there.
So another interesting story about this, and we heard this on the Marcelino Magic Kingdom tour, is when they put that carousel in, Roy was standing on Main Street and looking through it, and he's like, he felt like it was off center. So they remeasured it, and it was like 3 inches off center.
He was right.
And they moved it.
8 inches, actually.
8 inches. There you go.
As they should have.
So they moved it over because he wanted it correct. Mm-hmm. He wanted it perfectly centered. When you're looking down Main Street through the castle, he wanted it to be centered.
Excellent. So that's nice little story. I like it because usually we're passing it. We always go to now, like our must-do in Fantasyland is the Mickey's PhilharMagic. So we always do that, and we're usually fighting the line for the carousel as we're getting through that little bottleneck there.
The other question is it a carousel or is it a merry-go-round?
Doesn't the carousel have music and merry-go-round doesn't?
No, just – and I don't think there's really a difference, but some would
tell you. I thought that was a good question.
Some would tell you that it depends on the way they spin.
Right. Now
– I feel like I must Google this.
Now, the gold ring, you ever hear the copper, what was it, the golden ring or the copper ring or the brass ring? You ever hear of that? Like, you got to go for the brass ring or something like that?
Yes.
The carousel in Ocean City, New Jersey has one of those. As you're going around, it has a dispenser probably about maybe 6 feet off the ground, 7 feet off the ground that has rings that, or it doesn't have it anymore, I guess. Rings are there for you to grab, and you're supposed to grab the ring as you're going around on the carousel. Now, initially, I'd be like, how many fingers have been left there trying to grab that ring if it doesn't come off right away? But it seemed to be a thing that's always been.
Interesting. Cool.
So I have the answer of if it's a carousel or a merry-go-round.
Okay.
All right.
A carousel only has horses, while a merry-go-round has both horses and other animals, even fictional ones.
What about horses and... Oh, so it doesn't matter as far as, like, the coaches or things like that?
No.
So then this is just horses.
So if there was, like, a dragon on the carousel, it would be a merry-go-round.
So this is a carousel, I'm thinking.
There's just horses, right?
So carousel... So the biggest difference is carousel is American English, and it's from the French carousel or Italian carousello.
Wow, we're
diving. In British English, it's called a roundabout or a merry-go-round.
Nice.
That's the biggest thing.
Now, I tell you what, too. I'm looking at the title of this again. We haven't discussed this part of it. Prince Charming's Regal Carousel.
So, yes, it was renamed.
And I think I did – actually, just saying that, I remember the story behind it. This is his training ground. This is where his knights would train on their steeds and get ready for battles and stuff like that.
Another thing is that there's actually Cinderella's horse on the carousel.
Yes, the white one, right?
There's a lot of white ones. The way you can tell is she's the second one in. The horse is the second one from the outside. It's got one that – the one on the outside is fully armored, which a lot of them are. But it has – she has a – her horse has a gold ribbon tied around its tail.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
But the reason I actually brought it up is because if you see any old videos of Walt, he would say merry-go-round.
Probably because of that merry-go-round in what was it, Griffith Park or wherever that park was he used to go to with the kids. That's the beginning of it all.
Yep.
I feel like everybody kind of it's kind of like tomato. Like,
yeah. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
Well, no, that seemed pretty specific. If it's non-horses, like you said, dragons or any type of character or animals, boom, it's a merry-go-round. It's a fantasy vehicle.
I think it's more. I think it has more to do with who's calling it.
What their name? It doesn't rhyme. Prince Charming's Regal Merry-go-round just doesn't fit.
Yeah.
Regal merry-go-round just doesn't kind of,
But a carousel. Mesh. Yeah. Very
carousel
cool.
Carousel has a nice,
And I tell you what, guys, if you're down there as an adult, go on this again. Get on the carousel. The line isn't that really that bad. They put a lot of people on it each time. And we didn't wait that much at all.
And Jimmy, I know, so Kim can do the carousel, because I know there's some rides she can't do because she gets a little motion sickness.
She does, but no, she's fine on that one, actually.
That's not even close to teacups, though. Teacups are a totally different world.
Well, in most of the stuff she gets motion sick in is the stuff that's like you're indoors, like simulators like Star Tours or something like that.
Oh, gotcha.
So that's the ones that really get her. All right, so that carousel was originally built by the Philadelphia Toboggan Company in 1917, and it was originally known as the Liberty Carousel and delivered to Belle Isle Park in Detroit, Michigan.
Are you trying to take my job as the Googler of the group?
That girl. Googler. Liberty originally had a 60-foot platform, 72 wooden horses, 4 chariots and sleighs, and seated 99 passengers, 5 abreast. It was moved to Olympic Park in Irving, New Jersey, and in 1967, the Walt Disney Company purchased it. So it was in Jersey at one time, Ed, when you were
right.
A wee lad. I don't know where Irvington, Jersey is. I don't know if that's close to.
No, it's closer to the city than it is to where I was. Yeah, closer to New York, that would be city-wise.
Arrow development, in which Disney had purchased a third interest in 1960, and which had restored the King Arthur Carousel for Disneyland, produced new engineering drawings for a mechanism and horses, and it was shipped to California where the horses. Well, okay, that's a lot of information, but
sure.
Anyway, that's where it came from. And another cool thing is that when you go on the Marceline Magic Kingdom tour, when you go backstage by the Haunted Mansion, a lot of times you can see some of the extra horses that are back there because they pull them off and they rotate them out so they can refurbish them. So there's a few extras.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, how about all of that information we just threw out there based on just coming up with the carousel? We didn't plan any of that. So very cool, guys. Good job. Okay, so that is it for this week's show of the Wheel of Attractions. Let us know what you think. Send us an email and give us your thoughts on these attractions that we visited today. We love to hear what you have to say. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions at thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 344 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Thanks for listening. And as we're going through this virus, hang tough, stay safe. You guys want to say any consoling words in there?
Wash your hands.
Stay magical.
Okay. For Jimmy, Morgan, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Quaharini.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
Gongaloosh!
Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace.